for some things. And it has nothing to do with being paid for that quality and that kind of thing. But sometimes we are not very yielding where other people are concerned. We are those that I am feelings get in the way and that I am pride get in the way. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I want to talk to you about prayer. And in this particular case here, he lays out for us a system that always works. There is nothing you can enter into in prayer. There's nothing you can think about that this system won't work in. And that is, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything and be thankful for anything. If you can ever bring yourself to get into that situation, everything else will fall into place one way or another. Be careful for nothing. Now, before I get too far here, I want to mention some things to you. I want you to understand that prayer has to be dispensational. Now, for instance, let's say that here is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. His crucifixion is here, and here would be Matthew through John. Jesus Christ told the apostles in here certain things that they were to pray for. And in John chapter 14, he said unto those apostles, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything you ask in my name, I will do it. A lot of people in this age have been thrown off, so to speak. They've been disillusioned, disheartened, and discouraged because they accepted that as written to them, and they asked for the Lord things in the name of Christ and never got it. And they ended up disheartened and sick and said, God will honor His word. Well, it's a failure to write it, divide the word, to come on the other side and say, who's the salvation of Paul? The age of grace is in here. Paul said, we have an infirmity in our flesh, and we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Difference in us. These people that he's teaching, which has been the trial, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven, received the Holy Spirit from God the Father. And Jesus Christ baptized the 12 with the Holy Spirit. He said, as John baptized with water, you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days since. So he baptized them with the Holy Spirit. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. I'm trying to get you to understand that these 12 people, how could they ask something in the Father's name and it be done? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that was within them. Some of them said, that we have the Holy Spirit. We have the sealing of the Holy Spirit, but not the empowering of the Holy Spirit. You see, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The word of God is the power today. I don't need to be empowered by the Spirit so that I can walk on water or raise the dead or perform miracles. If that were to happen unto me, I probably would use that to my disadvantage one way or another. And so God Almighty gave me the Bible. I must walk by faith in the Word of God. In other words, I must accept at face value what God said in this book without any miracles. I don't need to see anything happen. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we look not at the things which are I remember the Lord Jesus Christ, and how should we say? I say, Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again. Trust him, and God will save you. But if he says unto me, am I saved? I will never tell him yes or no. It's up to him to know whether he is or not. Not me to tell him. But being led by the empowering Holy Spirit. Notice that the same thing was true of Christ. Jesus Christ was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And from the day that he was 30 years of age until his death, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. The 12 were empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are not empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, but not empowered by power. We know not what the Christ tells we of. In other words, we don't know why certain things are happening unto us. There must be certain tribulations and trials and things that will come upon us, and we say, Lord, why is this happening to me? We don't know why that is happening. And so, we just say, thy will be done and not mine. But we don't know. We can't pray and say, Lord, please cause this to leave me. Please cause this to let up what I'm concerned. Why? Because we might be getting the trouble because of our own foolishness. In other words, if I do things that cause tribulation and trouble to come unto me, that's my own deal. And then no need said, oh God, remove this from me. I brought it on myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are plenty of times today we get in trouble. We fool around with something that got no business dealing with. We cause problems when we shouldn't cause problems, and then say, oh God, I pray that thou would remove this, and on and on and on. Well, sometimes we just have to work it out. So we know not what the prayer does we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he said, and he that searcheth the hearts. So I must say, here is the saint. And here is his spirit. And so he's got certain things in his spirit. We say that's his heart. All right. Jesus Christ, our Savior, died for us at Calvary, was buried. Our sins were transferred to Calvary. He paid for our sins. We are identified with him in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, and we've ascended up with him by identification. Now, here's the thing. So I end up on my face on the floor, and I'm groaning. I don't even know what to say anymore. I don't know how to say it. And I just know that there's something wrong, and I know that something needs to be done, and on, but I don't know what. And so Jesus Christ, my Savior, at the right hand of the Father, searches my heart. He knows what is the mind of your heart. And so he, knowing not only my desire, but he knows my need. And so he intercedes with the Father in a prayer that I could not. Praise for me. Hence, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hence, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound there to good work in the Lord. It always works. God knows exactly what we need before the need ever arises. And God's grace is sufficient. But understand something. You don't build up grace. You don't store it up to be used down the road somewhere. We walk by faith, not by sight. That is, we trust that when I get to that spot, God's grace is sufficient. An example, this past weekend, on Thursday morning, I got up sick. I had such a horrifying headache. It was like I couldn't sleep. And that went on all day Thursday. sufficient. And so I preached. Then, Sunday morning, I was so sick, I did that. I said, and listen, if I go there, I said, call Steve. I said, Steve, I believe that I'll be a hindrance more than a help to you. And if you've got enough people, then I won't come out. I said, if you don't have somebody to speak, then I'll go. And he said, no, but everything is fine. And so I left to come on down for the funeral. I dreaded this. I dreaded it. We're talking a funeral of a little boy, but he was 18 years old when he died. The first time I saw this little boy, he was a pet, cute little red-headed kid. Came in with Lamar's mother, and I was preaching and teaching there in a home. And little Lamar lay right down like that and went to sleep at my feet. Many's the night in John Sanford's home in Birmingham, Alabama, when I taught and Lamar be lying right there at my feet asleep. And I'm asked to stand up there Sunday and preach this young man's funeral. And I get over all of it. But I needn't have. I needn't have prayed more than once. God's grace is sufficient. But I went down there trusting the Lord, even though I didn't trust me. And you know what? It was all worked out. It's amazing how these things work. Young Lamar had written out a poem. In this poem, he was saying how he wanted to get out of this world. He had a heart condition, and they wanted to give him up. They wanted to give him out of a heart transplant. And he had told people that he did not want that, that he would much prefer to go to be the Lord than to go for this heart transplant. So this young man was ready to go. He was ready to die. In fact, he wanted it. And so he'd written this poem out. And Lamar, his father, gave him the poem and said that we want you to read this if you will. And I was glad to do it. And I stood up there and read that poem. And I told the people it's customary that a preacher say certain things about the deceased. It is not necessary that I say anything about Lamar. It is all said in the poem. And I read the poem, and I said, it isn't necessary that I comment anymore about Lamar. I want to talk to you about Lamar's Savior. And so I spent 30 to 45 minutes telling them about this young man's Savior and why he could have the confidence to write the things that he wrote. God's grace is sufficient. So we know not what the papers we are, but we just groan within ourselves. But he that searches our hearts, Jesus Christ, his Spirit, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. You see, beloved, he never asked God the Father for anything for you out of God's will. Anything that Christ asked the Father in your behalf, you did. Therefore, be careful about the thoughts and intents of your heart. You see, he rejoined, you see, folks, there could very well be a time while you're on your face praying a certain thing about somebody while beating your heart. What's coming out your mouth is not the thing that is in your heart. And so God is not going to deal with what you're asking with your mouth. The Lord is going to deal with the thing that is in your heart. So that first principle is prayer. And prayer is, get your heart right. There is a lot of sitting here with a little lawyer, a Jew, by the way, commission closed the judge. Before we went to court, we were told that he was going to rule against us. Because the Downtown Business Association and the Ministerial Association wanted us out of there. So he was going to rule against us. This judge had cancer. It's true. And for 6 months, lived a horrible life of half his face going off. And finally got it. The editor of the Montgomery Advertiser, Alabama Journal, wrote articles, I've got them home now in my files, against me, putting me down horrible. He died at the commission closed. A man that we had rented a building from, a rest commission, wouldn't let us go back there. He said he was afraid of the Downtown Business Association. I'll let you out of this building and look. They shut me down. He died. And then there's a honky-tonk across the street from the Rest Commission. He circulated the petition against me before the court proceedings. A friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, went in there and talked to him about it because he knew him by name. Cursed him. And said, get out of my establishment. The man had a heart attack and died. The man that headed up the thing, that brought the case against me, after we were closed, brought his son, threw his son on an airplane to college, had him established, went out to take off, the airplane went up, turned, boom, into the ground. It burned to death. There were 7 people died. Come on, folks. We're not playing games here. I'm talking to you about something. People always talk about prayer. Most people don't want to pray. They're scared to go to pray. They just want to play around with some prayer. We're talking prayer. A couple of years ago, there was a situation that existed that many of you know about. Opposition came. Much of our opposition had just fell by the wayside. It's hyper-dispensational stuff. One of the young men is so mad and so angry at everybody that now he doesn't even have a class anymore. The people he was preaching to won't even listen to him anymore. He's mad at me. He's got this thing in his craw about me. One person warned me about that poem. And you better watch this guy. I knew him and said, he never lets anything go. And if he ever can, he'll get you. You have to go for the Lord to do it. Another man who led in this thing told his class in Pensacola a couple of weeks ago that he's going to have one more class. The class at Federal Power is fizzled out. The majority of the people in my class are people that laugh at me. They want to shut me down. I can go on and on. One of the guys who laid all this stuff against me moved away, stole part of the stuff and wronged the others that were against me. He's somewhere else now studying to be a newspaper reporter. Or no, what am I saying unto you? I'm saying unto you, God Almighty, grace is sufficient. I'm saying unto you, the Lord cares about you. I'm saying unto you, get your heart right and be sure what your motive is in all this, and God will not take care of you. So what if somebody does kill me? Then the Lord's will has been done. Don't worry about it. context there. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. The word prayer, implies devotion. It implies communication. To pray, just now, it would be right. There is a
Thank you.
Amen.